Hi, I'm Lisa Goldberg, nutritionist and weight loss coach, and your host for the Right Way to Weight Loss Summit. I'm here today with Maria Claps and Kristen Johnson. Welcome, ladies. I am so excited to have this conversation today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
And today we're going to talk about what is metabolic health and why it matters for midlife women, which is a hugely important topic in general. And when it comes to managing your weight and for all of us women who deal with going through menopause, right? And how we can get through it as best as possible. But before we get into that conversation, let me tell you a little bit about Kristen and Maria. Maria is an FDN practitioner and Kristen, an NTP board certified holistic nutritionist, are plain spoken friends and practitioners who share a passion for women's health, especially women's health at midlife. As both are themselves menopausal, they've refined the art of science of thriving as a midlife woman based on both clinical and personal experience. They combine individualized nutrition and lifestyle changes tailored to midlife women's needs with mindset coaching. Love that. With mindset coaching, lab testing, and hormone replacement therapy education to help women thrive so they can stop or prevent their health from spinning out of control. So sorry, I got a little tongue twisted there, but I love the fact that you do all of this and you incorporate it with mindset coaching because, you know, it all starts with how we think. But I'd love for you to tell a little bit of the, you know, the audience, how you two got to do what you do and how you got to do it together, which I think is, you know, fabulous.
It's always fun to tell. So, so we always joke about the age 42, 43. That's for me when things just started to really change in my body and I was very frustrated and also quite confused. So I sought the help of a doctor in, I believe it was on Park Avenue, Lower Park Avenue in New York City, kind of read a bit about him, saw his YouTube videos and realized that in the end, while he opened my eyes to some interesting things and possibilities, there was just a lot I didn't like about his approach. So it was at that point where I was like, okay, I have to go back to school. Like, I need to figure this out. I can't be fully dependent on, you know, physicians to figure this out for me. And so, yeah, I went back to school and kind of discovered the world of women's health and hormones and perimenopause and menopause. And because I was in perimenopause at that time and pretty symptomatic. And then I was like, wow, nobody knows this stuff. I need to get this out there. Yeah.
Yeah. And mine was, I probably, and it came at it partly from a nutrition angle. I mean, I think I had in the back of my head that my hormones were at play, but my mom went through surgical menopause at 32. So I had no, you know, personal kind of experience watching someone go through menopause. It wasn't something that we ever talked about. But exactly like Maria, it was about 43, 44 for me. And I felt like my body was failing me. And I thought, there's no why, I'm too young. This can't be happening. And I was living in Boston and, you know, we have great medicine up there, conventional medicine. And I had a wonderful, female provider who comes from a different country. And she had more of what I thought was a holistic approach. So I was going to her and she just kind of kept gaslighting me, to be perfectly honest, and saying, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you, kind of implying that I must, you know, be doing something she wasn't aware of. And I just begged her, I said, can we just get some tests? And she said, you're too young. It's not relevant. There's nothing wrong with you. And I mean, I was looking up Lyme and mold and like everything under the sun, trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And finally, I just took things under my own wing and I started reading books and doing a few kind of tweaks on my own health. And my husband looked at me and he said, you have changed so much. You've transformed your health so much and kind of ours, kids and his. And he said, why don't you go back to school? And, you know, I'm an attorney by background. And I thought, well, yeah, credentials would be good. And so I went back to school and started just kind of working in general health with clients and started to see this trend of these 40 something women coming to me with the same problems. And I'm like, okay, there's something going on here. And so I started to seek out more, you know, education on the hormone level. And that's when I stumbled upon Maria. So Maria was teaching a training for other practitioners. And I was considering her training and someone else's. And I just sort of shot off these blind emails. And I get this very fast email reply that says, call me. Just that's it. Call me with her number. And I'm like, who is this person? And so anyway, I called her and it turned into a long romance, to be perfectly frank. We had probably an hour long conversation that spanned a whole host of things in life, well beyond nutrition and hormones. And then kind of in the course of the training, we realized we had a really neat synergy, and she made a proposal and I jumped, and the rest is history. So she's my work wife now.
Oh, I love that. I really do, because especially the synergy and, you know, putting your expertise together to really help women, because I do, I follow you guys on Instagram. I'm going to admit it. And it's just kind of just like the information you put out there is so valuable and so, so much. It's just so informational. It's easy to understand and it makes sense. All right. So I think that's really so important. And two things that both of you said on your journeys was that you knew something was wrong and nobody kind of listened to what you were saying, right? Like, or nobody took you seriously, or they kind of, you know, or it just didn't, you knew there was something more that you needed. And so you kind of became your own health advocates. And I feel like, especially with women, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Right. So I want everybody who's listening to recognize that if there's something not quite right, or you think something's not right with your body, because our bodies speak to us, mm-hmm. You know, to become your health advocate, you know, find the information. And that's why, you know, like doing this summit is to give everybody the information that they don't know. So, you know, and it's important that they find what works best for them, because everybody's different. And today we're going to talk about metabolic health. Right? Because it's so important, especially as we age, because things change. You know, I mean, I'm sure you guys hear it. I hear it all the time in my practice. You know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, right, it was so easy to lose weight, or my body did this and my body's no longer doing that. And a lot of it is because of these, you know, the metabolic changes. And so what is, when you guys talk about metabolic health, it's like, what exactly are we talking about?
I'm gonna start.
I think Maria was gonna start. I mean, there's two ways to look at it, and we like to think that you should be pursuing both angles of, you know, trying to get a bird's eye view on your metabolic health. So,
should we start with sort of like the what you can base it on, what you see and feel? So, metabolic health, Lisa, is going to be, you have energy to go throughout the day. You have really good cognition. You're not all foggy brained. You don't forget tons of things. I mean, forgetting sometimes is normal, but here's a really, really good one. If you have breakfast and you can't get all the way till lunch, you know, you need to stop and have a 10 or 11 a.m. mid-morning snack. You know, you're probably metabolically unhealthy because you're probably eating wrong, but you know, these things all mix together. You have excess body fat. So those are all sort of like what we can see and feel. And then there are some pretty specific parameters for testing, and Kristen will discuss that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we all have to be aware of like when we get hangry, right? Hangry is a really big sign. If you're hangry, if you're relying on coffee, another really big sign. Mood is another one that Marie and I had talked about. That's just, you know, I hate to say it, but it was one of the things that tipped Maria and me off in our 40s that something was off, is we have 7 boys between us and we're kind of bitchy, to be honest, to them. And we look back and we think, thank God, you know, we're saved enough for their therapy. No, I'm joking. But, you know, things were shifting then metabolically, and it was likely due to hormonal decline. But had we had practitioners who wanted to actually look under the hood, they would have looked at things like thyroid health. Thyroid ages just along with our hormones. And one of the things that happens is the thyroid slows, is so does our metabolism. And that's when the excess weight comes on. And so looking at that thyroid piece, and it doesn't have to be a malfunction of the thyroid gland itself. There can be conversion issues of our thyroid hormones, and that's going to speak to gut health. So looking at the gut, looking at the thyroid, looking at blood sugar regulation. I mean, all of those things that Maria described are actually a result of the fact that you're not an efficient fuel burner, that your body is constantly seeking kindling to make itself run throughout the day. And we like to tell ladies, you know, if you think of your body as this large bonfire that you're kind of in charge of having burn all day long, nice and robust fire. And I gave you two fuel options. I gave you a pile of fatwood kindling, or I gave you a pile of big dry logs. Would you choose the kindling? Probably not, because you have to sit there all day long and throw fuel onto the fire, right? To keep it going. But that's what we tend to do in, you know, these kind of phases of life where it's get up and go and answer to a lot of people and support others and whatnot, is we don't eat optimally. And so we rely on this kindling fuel that dysregulates our blood sugar. Then we aren't able to sort of mobilize fat stores to use as fuel. So we would look at blood sugar regulation. So a lot of people will get a glucose number and they're like, I only have a glucose of like 99. I'm within the range. I'm all good. And Brianna are like, nope. That's only your last 24 hours of eating. We need to look at fasting insulin. We need to look at averages like C-peptide and HbA1c. Inflammation is another piece. So as blood sugar becomes dysregulated, it throws off cortisol. As cortisol becomes dysregulated, we see inflammation go up. So what are your inflammatory markers? And there's a few to look at with that. You know, oxidative stress is sort of another one. A lot of women's, their cycle's changing. They might be having an increase in ferritin, or they might be anemic, or just sort of non-alcoholic fatty liver is a very common thing lately that women are suffering from and don't know it. So we would look at those sorts of markers. And then things like lipids. I mean, I think cholesterol becomes like the bellwether for metabolic health to so many people, but cholesterol actually is informed by our metabolic health. You can have, you know, a perfect lipid panel, but if you have deranged blood sugar and inflammation and oxidative stress, that lipid picture is temporary and it's going to modify and it's going to get real ugly real fast. So, you know, it's how are you feeling? Are you thriving? You know, are you got the great cognition and good mood and energy and everything else? And it doesn't have to be manic, but it's got to be consistent, right? And then how do your blood labs look? And, you know, there's a lot of people come to us. They're like, no, I'm doing really good. Or I think Marie and I had a client recently who did not have excess body fat, but her insulin markers were off the charts. And so that's, you know, people can be skinny fat. And that's something that we need to talk about. So that's, you know, kind of two ways to kind of assess the metabolic health as to how are you feeling? How are you functioning? And then how do your labs look?
And so for women, like women in their early 40s, because, you know, perimenopause could kind of start for so many women, you know, late 30s, early 40s, late 40s. I mean, everybody's body is different. But if somebody starts to, let's just take somebody in their early to mid 40s, start, all of a sudden they start to gain some weight, right? Because sometimes it happens where their food is the same, but they start to...
That's the norm, I think, right? Is that they haven't made any changes, but their body starts changing.
Right. So, you know, so what's happening in their body? So I want women to kind of understand who are listening, you know, it's normal. It's happened. It's kind of like part of the perimenopausal process, but what's happening in their body? So they kind of understand, and why is the insulin cortisol connection, you know, so crucial when it comes to weight gain, weight loss. So they really understand, you know, or maybe explain a little bit of how the food that they eat, you know, in this whole long explanation, how the food that they eat plays into that. And even if they're not doing anything different, what they might be eating is affecting all that.
Well, Marie, do you want to take kind of the hormonal angle?
Yeah, sure. So, that woman that you mentioned, her sex hormones are in decline, and not just her progesterone. So it will start with progesterone. I mean, technically, it'll start with DHEA, but we'll keep it to the sex hormones. It'll start with progesterone, and that will drop, right? And then, so what's happening, Lisa, and I'm just going to briefly touch on this. A lot of women in that age stage will think, or will read about like their symptoms and say, oh my gosh, I'm estrogen dominant. No, if they are, it's very, very temporary situation, because the truth is that the progesterone is dropping, but their estrogen is dropping as well. Mm-hmm. it doesn't follow the same timeline and the same kind of line graph, but it is absolutely dropping. And so that actually changes, that actually means that we can have body composition changes. And then when we have body composition changes, you know, we all pursue these interventions that we think are going to be great. You know, we start like maybe doing more cardio or what else?
Well, plant-based. I mean,
oh yeah, plant-based.
And okay. I mean, in addition, so you got this hormonal decline, but just aging on its own results in muscle tissue decline. Like we all hopefully are starting to cue into this. That starts in your 30s, lady. That's kind of when you max out. And then we start losing it by decade in a rapidly progressing rate after that. So, you know, and the other piece is as estrogen tells the body where to store fat. Insulin tells the body to store fat generally. Estrogen sort of directs where it goes. So as we're losing our estrogen, instead of the estrogen telling it mostly to go to the hips and the butt, which is what we're all used to when we're younger.
And healthier.
Right. It is. Yep. Then with the loss of estrogen, insulin's just like, I'm just going to store it. And it stores it in the belly. And it becomes this fat that's very dangerous because it's over our organs. It's just, it's not good fat tissue. It actually becomes its own kind of hormone production center. But like Maria said, women respond with, oh my gosh, I'm getting soft, or I have this little pudge, or what's happening. And cardio, you know, they rely on all the stuff that's been hammered into our brains. Calories in, calories out. So they cut calories. You have to earn your calories. So they burn them off. Plant-based narrative. Oh, you know, meat is heavy. It's unfeminine. It must not be good for me. And I care about the environment and animals and all these things. So now I'm going to go and I'm going to reduce the amount of meat. I'm going to have these, what has been coined as a big ass salad with a tiny little couple strips of chicken, maybe some salmon. Frequently, they'll go low fat. And all of these things, and you know, let's be honest, it's an age and stage of life where we are caregivers. It might be a sandwich generation with adults. It might be kids. It might be a partner. It might just be our job, but we are caregivers. And so it's a lot easier to care for everyone else and not care for ourselves, right? And we tend to kind of keep pleasing and put ourselves on the back burner or further down the priority list. And all of that then becomes sleep deprivation, unmitigated stress, et cetera. And all of these interventions that we just talked about increase all the things that we just described as metabolic health. They further derange our insulin. They further jack our cortisol. They increase inflammation. They modify our lipids. They cause oxidative stress in the body. So it's sad because we've got this aging natural progression of hormone decline and muscular decline that results in a reaction from us that makes it worse.
Yeah.
And then women feel like their body's failing them. Like if we had a dime for every woman who said, I didn't change anything and my body just, you know, kind of absolutely failed me. We're like, no, actually your body was doing exactly what it's supposed to do. You kind of screwed it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it breaks my heart when I hear women say there must be something wrong with me, right? Because they kind of just feel like, you know, they don't know what to do or it's impossible or they give up on themselves or they're just like, well, I've tried X, Y, Z, you know, probably for like, you know, 7.5 days and then they gave up.
That's
right? True. That's what, you know, dieters do to who lose weight. Right. So, you know, when we talked about, or I mentioned earlier about like the mindset work, the mindset is so integral. And Kristen, what you were saying just about women putting themselves last, women, yeah. You know, putting themselves on the bottom of the totem pole versus, you know, giving themselves what they need and then taking care of everybody else. Because probably like you, I always feel like when you feel good and yourself is good, everybody else in the family fares better.
But we don't recognize that, right? And you know, we think that we're being this great example by doing all the time. When in reality, Maria and I say to women all the time, your kids are watching, you know? And if the message that you're sending is self-neglect and martyrdom wins, I don't think that's what we want to tell them. And, you know, let's be honest, our mothers and grandmothers didn't have the benefit of a lot of this information. So they did suffer in a way that wasn't attractive or appealing or maybe their best selves. So we kind of have that, like I'm becoming my mom, right? And then some of the stuff that we didn't, I mean, the visual, physical changes and maybe mood are obvious to people, but let's be honest, there's other changes happening with hormonal decline, like a dry vagina, like a lack of libido, things that make us suddenly lose that womanhood. And that may affect our relationship in the bedroom or with someone that we love. And so we don't talk about these things. So we further isolate ourselves. It's not like you're going to stand at the, you know, volunteer event at your kid's school and talk about a dry vagina with your girlfriend, right? And so we don't. And then our husbands are looking at us, or our partners are looking at us like, what is your problem? And you're kind of in the closet crying, thinking, I don't know what my problem is, you know? And it becomes this isolation, easier to do for others, and then self-deprivation, right? And the other thing, Maria, we didn't talk about was fasting. That's another huge thing that a lot of people will pursue as women, these excess extended fasts. And that can go sideways with you. So, you know, we make it worse, we go in internal, and then we kind of adopt a mindset of this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about why fasting doesn't work. Because one of the reasons why I'm doing this summit, The Right Way to Weight Loss, is because I want to prevent people from doing like these quick newfangled fad things that don't work for the long time term. You might lose a few pounds, or maybe you might, you know, if you fast long enough, reach your goal weight. But if you don't continue to fast for the rest of your life and you go back to doing what you were doing, the weight's going to find its way back. So could you speak a little bit into why that as a fix just doesn't work ever?
Well, I'll just kind of give the one thing that, I mean, I feel like nobody speaks about this, but Kristen and I do. And that is that, you know, if weight loss is desired, right, fat loss is desired, then protein has to be pretty darn important from day to day, from meal to meal, throughout the day type of a thing. And, you know, we don't need to talk specifics, but you need to kind of hit a certain target on the daily. Well, if you're like fasting for, say, 18 hours and you just have like a 6-hour eating window, it's pretty unusual. It's pretty, I would guess you're not going to meet your daily target for grams of protein. And that is going to not help with weight loss. Well, it might help with weight loss. Okay. But
the scale.
It's scale. It's not going to help with overall health and body composition. So
yeah.
For me, that's just the biggest reason. Like, I think a couple of years ago, Kristen, you and I were like trying to fast and maybe trying to like do 2 meals a day instead of 3. And we just both realized, well, we're just not like, we're actually not even eating enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Women go too low calorie, definitely too low protein, because they probably haven't even had that as a priority to begin with. And then, as Maria said, getting it all in a short window is hard and unappealing. But when we fast, so let's go back. Why did fasting become so sexy, right? There's the weight loss component, but one of the shiny objects that functional medicine throws around is this whole increase in autophagy, which is, right, cellular recycling. We're going to throw out all the unused and unneeded cells, and we're going to turn over, and it's going to be this vitality thing and whatnot. That's great. But you know what else does that? Exercise. So we don't need to fast in order to cause this process. The body is really smart and really wants us to thrive. And it's going to engage in these things if we give it the opportunity. The other piece is that fasting, the weight loss that results from fasting is lean mass. It's lean muscle. So what women often do is they just focus on the scale, the number goes down, and then they look in the mirror and they realize they're a softer version of their old self. They've lost that muscle at a very critical point in life when it's harder to get it back. And so then it becomes this really vicious cycle, right? Of more fasting. I'm going to do it harder and better kind of thing. And fasting is just very catabolic. It breaks the body down. That's the whole point of it, from, you know, the religious origins and whatnot. But the other thing too, is that your ovaries are in decline. And as the ovaries are kind of winding up their lifespan, we need the adrenals to kick in, and fasting's rough on the adrenals. And so women are fasting at the very time when they need to actually be nourishing their adrenals so that they're poised and ready to take over for the ovaries. So there's, you know, this stage of life of fasting is just brutal. I mean, if you are 100 pounds overweight, wildly insulin resistant, fasting can be a great medical intervention to help improve your insulin sensitivity, for a short period of time, but you've got to find a way to eat and exercise properly that's not going to have all those other effects. So,
yeah. And I want women to understand, prior to becoming a clinical nutritionist, I was a certified personal trainer for years and years and years. And the reason why you don't want to lose that muscle is active tissue, right? And it burns you. We could be sitting in our chairs and our body is burning more calories just sitting here than if we don't have that active lean muscle on our body. So you don't want to, you know, catabolize that. That's the right word, I think, when you're fasting, and lose that lean muscle, which is why as we hit our 40s, we want to get back to the gym,
right?
Lift those weights to get lean muscle on our body to help metabolically and with metabolic health.
Yeah. I mean, people think of muscle in two ways. One, it makes us look toned, right? That toned is a BS term for people wanting to be skinny, right? What we really want is to have a firm body and to have some muscle on it. So there's the body appearance part of muscle that people focus on. And then there's the locomotion, right? None of us want to be frail in our 40s. So we want to be able to get up and down off a toilet without holding onto the sink next to us. But like you said, it's an active living tissue. And in addition to being in charge of our metabolic rate, you need it for glucose disposal. And so women have this diminished ability to handle glucose and carbs because of their declining estrogen. And now they're declining muscle. They even have less carb tolerance, so to speak. But one thing that's been apparent over the last couple of years is that muscle really plays into our immune system function, and people don't appreciate this. And when you're 80 and 90 years old and frail because you focused on fasting and doing yoga, your ability to withstand immune challenges, such as the past 2 years, is going to be diminished. And, you know, that's a piece of muscle that I just don't think people appreciate enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's really important. And what I want women out there listening to this to recognize is that what Maria and Kristen are saying is that you can be in perimenopause and menopausal, and still, if you take care of your health the right way, you can lose weight, right?
Absolutely.
It's not lost, but there's pieces that you need to put into place to get the results that you want. And a lot of it is just kind of like knowing what's going on metabolically with your body. And so I'd love to actually have a conversation because, you know, I feel like I wonder, I don't know for sure, if there's women out there who are confused about metabolic health and hormone replacement therapy. Right? So as women get into their 40s and they go into perimenopause, or they're in full-blown menopause and they're having, you know, hot flash after hot flash, and they feel like they're melting every night or every afternoon, talk to us about hormone replacement therapy and the benefits, or, you know, how you feel about that and what you share with the women who become your clients.
Well, okay. That's awfully a lot, but we'll try to do a high level overview. So we're huge fans of it for sure. It should not be taken up in without knowledge of what it is and what it requires from you. And, you know, you should ideally be metabolically healthy before you take on HRT. Okay, so we are absolutely fans. Kristen and I both believe that, you know, you can do menopause naturally. Usually when people mean that, they mean like without HRT. That is totally an option, and some women choose that. We think it's risky. If, you know, so we're going to kind of turn that on its head. People, the general population, thinks HRT is risky because of the fear of breast cancer. But the bottom line is women who use hormone therapy will get breast cancer, and women who do not use hormone therapy will get breast cancer. So both populations of women, you know, can get breast cancer. We don't believe that the HRT we're using causes cancer. Now,
what's your favorite line though, Maria? What are the two risks for breast cancer?
Boobs and birthdays. So basically being a woman and growing older.
Yeah.
Is
that's your breast cancer risk.
That's your breast cancer risk. And actually, Lisa, when we think about it, most cases of breast cancer are diagnosed in like 60, 70 year old women who have never been on hormones. So someone explain that to me. I mean, that's a whole other discussion, cancer, but yeah, we think HRT is super helpful. you know, does it help maintain a healthy weight? Yes, small though. Like it's, you can't rely on that by any means. It's just part of an overall health picture, we think.
Yeah, so. we think of HRT in midlife. Well, the way we would like to pitch it to women, because I think it's an analogy they get, think of it as your ultimate biohack optimizer. You have to still deal with all the low hanging fruit at your disposal, which is eating properly, strength training, working on your sleep, managing stress. Those things have to be dialed in to start HRT and have a good HRT experience. We like to kind of say, make your body the perfect host for HRT. That's going to lock in a positive outcome with HRT. But, you know, in getting real serious about it, is that when women who are metabolically deranged add HRT to their metabolically deranged body, they actually increase their risk for cardiometabolic diseases and cancer. And, you know, estradiol deficiency, when it's combined with significant insulin resistance, actually increases the risk for cancers, particularly in the breasts and the uterus and the ovaries. So women need to be cautious when they start HRT, not because the HRT itself is the inherent problem. It's usually your own underlying health that's the problem. Even the WHI, which, you know, we can get into if we want, but it's for ladies who are unfamiliar. It's the study done in the late 90s, early 2000s that kind of gave HRT a bad name. And it's been reanalyzed, and even its own authors have disavowed and walked away from it. But unfortunately, conventional medicine keeps pushing it. But even looking at the WHI data, it said women who had metabolic syndrome and then took HRT actually doubled their risk of a heart attack or dying from heart disease. So this is why it's not the HRT that's the issue. It's that metabolic health, which is why we love that you're doing this, because we can force a woman to drop pounds on the scale all day long. We can make that happen. We can give her a provider who's going to dish out HRT, but neither of those things are going to make her healthy. And this gets kind of all the way back to what you started with, the mindset piece, because women, sometimes they're just like racehorses at the starting gate, like, give me my HRT or tell me what my tests say. And Maria and I like to say, time out, you know, why are those things relevant right now? First, let's dial in. Why, what is it that you want? It's not really losing 10 pounds for your son's wedding. It really isn't. It's making sure that you're not a burden on your family at 70. It's making sure that you're still able to travel with your husband as long as possible. It's making sure that you can pick that grandbaby up and bring it in the air without having to be like, oh, hold on, mom needs to stand up and, you know, deal with her achy joints. So when women kind of step back and get the focus off the scale, get the focus off the vanity. I'm sure HRT can improve your hair and your skin and do all these lovely things that make you feel great. But if you're not on the inside healthy, it's really irrelevant and it can go sideways.
So it sounds to me that what you're saying is your overall health, taking care, addressing this stuff, having all the pieces in place, your sleep, your good nutrition, your water, you're taking care of your body. And so when your body does start to go through the changes, right, you're better equipped to get through that. So let me ask you, so for the 40 something year old woman who's noticing she's starting to change and she's pretty sure she's in perimenopause, what are some things that you tell your women clients, like maybe one or two things, like either what should they start to notice? So if a woman's thinking, what the hell's happening to me? Like, I have no idea what they're like, what do they look for? What are some maybe clear signs? And also what are one or two things they could start to do to start getting themselves into a better place?
Well, I think truly understanding what's going on and understanding what the journey is, the perimenopause journey, is really critical, because otherwise they just, again, they start to pursue all these interventions that end up hurting them. And so if part of their perimenopause journey has been, you know, belly fat, or, you know, they've gained 20 pounds, you know, if they don't understand kind of the interplay with muscle and aging and their immune health, they're going to go ahead and just pursue just some, you know, lose cardio or like Kristen said, going plant-based, and they're going to further, you know, deplete their store of muscle, which is so important. So I think really truly understanding what is at stake is sort of like the basis. You have to build from there.
Yeah. I mean, I think what they might notice will be cycle changes, right? That'll be one of the, might get longer, might get shorter, might get more intense, might get lighter, you know, further and further in between, et cetera. Then I would say for Maria and I, neither one of us were really big hot flash people. So when people are in their early 40s and they think, well, I haven't had hot flashes, I'm fine. Maria and I just kind of smile nicely and think, yeah, that's actually not a prerequisite or even necessary component to being in perimenopause. So it could be the dry vagina. It could be the lower libido. It could be disrupted sleep. That's a huge one. And women are like, oh, you know, we blame it on like all these other things before we realize that actually declining estrogen and progesterone affect our sleep, both on when we onset our sleep and how deeply in the duration of our sleep. So it could be sleep. It could be mood. I mean, honestly, if you're noticing just suddenly not feeling yourself at any time in your 40s, you're in perimenopause. That's just the journey. So what things do we do? We don't wait. First of all, don't wait to feel those things. You know, it's happening. Nobody gets to the end of life without going through menopause, period, dot. So knowing that it's coming, why not get a jump start on it? You know, Maria and I would have killed to have an extra 5-10 years on our journey. So get into the gym. Ditch the Orange Theory Fitness, ditch the Peloton, work with a trainer if you're uncomfortable with the gym. One of the things we hear all the time is, I don't want to get muscular. So I'm just going to sit here with my 15-pound dumbbells. And I hate to break it to y'all, but there's no physical way that you're going to get extra muscular just by nature of age and stage of life and hormone status. So, you know, get in with a trainer. Start converting that fat to muscle tissue, ditch the plant-based ideas, really focus on animal protein. You know, anyone who tells us I did really good, I got all this protein, I had my big quinoa salad, we're like, okay, you know, understand what protein is, know that animal sources are the most complete protein. They're going to accomplish these goals. And then like Maria said, get educated, whether it's, you know, finding someone like us who really tries to be education forward or just reading books, but finding some source that's going to kind of explain to you, what was our cycle doing all of this time in our life? It wasn't just coming once a month and bleeding, right? What our cycle was doing was signaling our bones to remodel. It was maintaining vascular tone in our arteries. It was keeping our cognition and our brain synapses going really well. There's so many things that that cycle was doing for us that we don't ever appreciate until it's gone. And so learning what it was doing is going to help kind of shape a woman's idea of, well, I don't want to lose those things. So therefore, you know, do I want to pursue HRT? And that, you know, to us would be kind of like the perfect journey. And we get these 38-year-old women, we're like, oh, we are so jealous of you. You know, you have such a head start on this. But that would be, I guess, our recommendation.
Okay. Well, and that's a good recommendation. And I so agree with you about the protein, because I'm right there with you, you know, in the counseling and coaching that I do with my clients, as far as, you know, nutrition and weight loss, because it's really, you know, so important, and especially to a changing body. And I know you ladies have a gift for the listeners today that will help them on their journey through midlife. So could you tell them a little bit about that?
Sure. It's called 21 Meals for Midlife Women. And, you know, everyone always needs meal ideas, and our meal ideas, the meal book is very, very, very protein forward. And I would say low to moderate, a moderate in fat, and low in carbs, not no carb. It's not keto. It's just like really focusing on protein, because that is incredibly important. Okay. It's 21 yummy, satisfying things.
Oh, excellent. And you found that in your daily email announcing our interview today, and also in the experts page talking about Kristen and Maria. And if anybody wants to find you to find out more about what you do and how you might be able to help them, where can they find you?
So we're active on Instagram. So that's, you know, they can just type Wise and Well into the search bar. We should come up. There's a picture of the two of us. And our website is wiseandwell.me.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've got a free community that we're pretty proud of. We're trying to build it out. We love engaging with women in social media, but it does, you know, keep things at a certain character limit. And so we have a network, or a community, I should say, on something called Mighty Networks. It's not Facebook. There's no friending. There's no political feeds. There's nothing in it. But it's just a place for Maria and I to kind of share products that we recommend, share deeper dives. We've got a huge series on cholesterol. Maria's got a great write-up on, like, I want to go through menopause naturally. And we kind of cheekily say, then that's death. But anyway, that you can find in the profile links on our Instagram page. So if people are interested, it's a free network and just kind of a fun place to learn some more.
Oh, excellent. Good to know. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being here. This was really informative. And I think there's a lot of women out there who are thinking, you know, thank goodness that I heard this, because what they might've been thinking about, maybe a quick fix diet, hopefully not. Now that they've heard this conversation, they're going to start to address what really needs to be addressed. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. And thank you all for being here, and we'll see you soon.